like to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Chris and I and James and Pauline and Maddie Skilling were at our national conference this week. Great time of ministry. Very powerful stuff. It was a very good conference. Great conference. And I've come back feeling a little bit pumped. It's good to get ministered to sometimes, don't you think? Don't you think? We give out and we give out and we give out. All of you do it. There's not one of you here that doesn't do that. We all give out and we all give out and we all give out. It's nice to just sit and be ministered to sometimes, isn't it? It's a powerful thing. So Romans chapter 1, I'm talking about wisdom today. And every week, I love the way Jeanette comes to me when I preach and she says, I didn't know, and she tells me what she learned. She's no good leaving this place going, that was a great message, but not learning anything. Not taking something with you that you can use either in your daily life or in your spiritual life, your transformational change, if you like. So I'm just really encouraged by that. So I want to read from Romans chapter 1 from verse 18. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. That's interesting, isn't it? Lots of people think God's wrath falls on them, but it doesn't. It's slowly revealed. And how do I know that? Because God's wrath doesn't come without warning. It doesn't come without time, and it doesn't come without grace. God doesn't just go, bang, my wrath's on you. He warns. He gives time. He extends grace. So we're still living in this incredible time of grace. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. We live in a time when wisdom is needed more than ever. Whether you agree with or like Donald Trump, he's right, there is fake news. There is fake news. You only have to listen to... It's, the trouble with it today is that they want to be first. And so they'll put something out without either checking the facts or before it's even been announced. I mean, this whole thing this week about the announcement from Buckingham Palace. News isn't news if it's speculation. Because you could speculate anything. Maybe one of the children of the Duke and Duchess were dead. We don't know. It's speculation. And so we have to temper everything we hear with, is this the truth? We need wisdom more than we've ever needed. There are fake people everywhere. True? Fake people everywhere. People who put on this big show, like on their Facebook status isn't their life. I'm telling you that now. Some of them, their lives are not as good as they make out. Some of them not who they say they are. We actually know that there are men who groom young girls on the internet. There are fake people everywhere. We need wisdom more than we've ever needed it before. Science. I mean, how often does science change? I remember when it was wrong to eat eggs because it gave you cholesterol. Now they say, if you don't have one egg a day, you're not going to be healthy. It's like, man, you know, so many eggs. Thank God Luke's got chickens. It works out a lot cheaper. But I mean, science changes all the time. What is true? And what, like, there are climate change believers and there are climate change deniers. I believe the climate's changing. I don't think it's as man-made as they make out, though. Haven't we had ice ages? Isn't after the flood, didn't everything change? And is it still changing? It's fake science everywhere. You know, I reckon Chicken Little and the Boy Who Cried Wolf fit into our culture right now. Because everything is all doom and gloom. You know, they'll tell you one week, red wine's good for your heart. The next week, they'll tell you, red wine's going to give you cancer. Well, choose which one you want to die of then. That sounds flippant, I know. But you know what I mean? Like, we put too much faith in science. That's what happened with thalidomide. You understand? Some of you know about thalidomide. Thalidomide is not a book in the Bible, Luke. Okay. There's a book of limitations. That's the one I wrote, the book of limitations. But there's even fake Christians. Different levels and different degrees, but some people are fake because they go, oh yeah, everything's good, and it's not. And they put on this righteous outside on a Sunday, but on a Monday they're completely different. But worse than that, the Bible tells us there's false apostles, false Christs. I think the most horrific thought that you can think, sounds a bit like Dr. Seuss, doesn't it? The most horrific thought that you can think is that when you stand before God one day and Jesus looks at you and you look into his eyes, suddenly realize he is the King of Kings, and he says, go away, I never knew you. Sadly, there are going to be some people like, nobody here. I don't want you to feel. But there are some who are going to stand before God, because he clearly says in his word, Jesus says, go away from me, I never knew you. Don't call me Lord. I've never been your Lord. There are fake Christians. We need wisdom more than we've ever needed wisdom. In some respects, I think it's worse than the days of Noah. We've been talking a lot about the days of Noah and how similar it is in our time. It's worse today. Why? Because of the TV. Because you get stuff at you all the time. In those days, they couldn't go, what's the news today? They might wait 3 weeks for the news. And it might be one little thing. The internet, it's just... So many people on social media this week went, oh, I think the Queen's dead. Just like, it's this instant throw at you. Do you know what it is? Because we want to be first with, I knew before you did. What's that about? Being first doesn't always make you right. We live in an age of photoshopping. I mean, when I first tried with the computer, photoshopping, it looked obvious. These days, it's like, how can you tell? You can put Mr. Bean's head on anything. Video editing technology. You can slice and splice and add and move and shape and merge. I think it's worse than the days of Noah. Information is shared quickly and widely, often before it's been checked. Gossip's at an all-time high. In our day and age, a reputation can be destroyed in a moment. Just the blink of an eye. You only have to say the wrong thing about someone at the wrong time, and you can destroy their reputation if you don't have your facts straight. And many of us here have been subject to that, where we've been maligned when it wasn't true. And you know what? It sticks. I don't care what anybody says, it sticks in some people. I know we need to worry just what God thinks. I get that. But for some people, it sticks with them, and they never get past that. The Bible warns us, it goes on in Romans chapter 1, verse 29. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. We're living in a time where people are like that. The number of people I see who just don't obey simple rules. It's like, it's not convenient for me to obey this right now. I sat on the plane coming home on Saturday next to a young guy. He had his phone on texting the whole time. The whole time. He wasn't linked to Wi-Fi. He was actually, I could see his airplane mode was still off. Still on, off. What do you do with it? You put it on. You turn it off. Okay, but I just turn my phone off. That's all I do. I'm old. So I don't worry about that stuff. But it's like, and when the steward comes out, he'd hide it. Because he knew he was doing the wrong thing. He just didn't care. And he knew I was sitting next to him, and he didn't care. We live in this time where people just invent ways of doing their own thing. You've seen people not indicate, haven't you? And if we're turning to the world for our wisdom or our example, we're looking in the wrong place. The world can never give us the wisdom we need. Now, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And I'll just go to the dictionary. I won't even go to the Bible for it. I'll go to the dictionary right now. The dictionary definition of knowledge is acquaintance with facts, truths or principles from study or investigation. Familiarity with a particular subject or branch of learning. That is knowledge. Wisdom in the dictionary says this: knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. Even the world's dictionary says the same as the Bible says. It says discernment or insight. Wisdom and knowledge are two different things. Lots of people walk around with knowledge, but not a lot of wisdom. And there's some people, believe it or not, walking around with lots of wisdom with very little knowledge. So where does true wisdom come from? Well, we know that discernment is a spiritual gift. There's a gift of discernment. Some people have it in greater measure than others. You know, I cry out to God for discernment, but he's always given my wife that little bit more. It's frustrating. Totally frustrating. She has a very high level of discernment. Mine's, you know, yeah, you've got discerning of spirits, that's a different thing, but discernment, to know what to do and without even knowing why. She has this ability to see beyond what I see, to see wider and further than I see, and just know in an instant, Laura, why didn't you say no, Mike? Oh, I didn't think of it. And I go, yeah, that's really good. Why didn't you come in the room while I was saying it then? You could have shared that bit. But she has a heightened level of discernment. Not all of us have that. But wisdom is available to all of us. God's no respecter when it comes to wisdom. He'll give it to anyone who asks for it. And Jesus spoke about wisdom, especially in relation to his return. He says in Luke chapter 21, verse 8 to 15, and he's talking to his disciples in Luke 21. He says, Luke 21, 8, not 18. Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I'm he and the time is near. Do not follow them. Hear that? Don't follow the latest thing, even if it looks Christian. Just follow him. When you hear of wars and uprisings, don't be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. And then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Hasn't that been going on for a while? There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you'll be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. Whether we like it or not, Christians are the most hated, maligned, and attacked group on the planet right now, even if it's just verbally. We are not persecuted as the church is persecuted in other places, but it's starting to rise. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. That's supernatural. We are to be supernatural and trust God for what to say and when to say it and how to say it. We see the disciples shortly after Jesus ascended using this wisdom that he spoke of. It says, the 12 gathered all the disciples and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Serving tables, they needed wisdom. And there's the key. Wisdom comes from being full of the Spirit. That's the key. And you might go, well, I'm not so sure I can have that kind of wisdom to make that decision. Is Jesus really going to give me the words to say at the right time and how to say them? You know what? If you're full of the Spirit, you don't have to worry about that. So we need to get full of the Spirit. You need to every morning say, God, fill me with your Spirit today because I need your words and your wisdom in my day. I'm only going to work, but I need your words and your wisdom today. I'm just going to school, God, but I need your words and your wisdom today. Fill me with your Spirit. And he promises that he'll give you what to say. Do you know why our evangelism fails? It's because we're not full of the Spirit enough. We're too frightened to speak because I don't know what to say. You don't need to know what to say. As people speak, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and he'll say, here it is. Who's ever opened their mouth and said something? Where'd that come from? All of you. Because I've heard you tell me that. I don't know where that... Maddie tells me every Monday. I don't know where that come from. He's a man full of the Spirit and wisdom. He looks at himself and goes, I'm not. Yes, you are. I remember that frightened little man came in my office that day. Just here to learn about your church. Frightened little man. Look at him now. He's a giant. Well, you know what I mean. Spiritual giant. He came to conference. You know this guy's service heart, don't you? You know how he serves anyway. He goes to conference and he's running around serving people. He's just amazing. We just praise God for people who are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We need more of you. I need more wisdom. Maddie's going, I do too. I know you do. But being full of the Spirit is the key. No matter what role you perform, you need wisdom, even if you're serving tables, handing out communion, putting the offering bags in the... You need wisdom. Why? Who knows what God's going to do? Who knows what God's going to do? You need wisdom when you count, so you put the right figure at the bottom. People who count. And Acts 6 continues in verse 8. It says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. He served tables. Same Holy Spirit, same God, same Jesus is in you. In you. You can perform signs and wonders. Oh, no, it's not me. Yes, it is you. I'm going to have to finish halfway through this the way I'm going. A man full of God's grace and power. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, who began to argue with Stephen. Who knows, people argue with you when you talk about God. But they could not stand up against the wisdom of the Spirit as it gave it to him as he spoke. Wow. These are the rulers of the synagogue. And he's this man who serves tables in the church. Probably been saved only a little while. Few weeks maybe, and they cannot argue with him. He got the words as the Spirit enabled him to speak. He wasn't afraid to just open his mouth and see what came out. I'm the kind of person, I've got to process it. If I've got a meeting coming, it's like, now I'm going to say this, I'm going to do this, and when I answer this way, I'm going to do that. I got to stop doing that. God's going to, and I think my most effective counseling sessions are when I don't know what you're going to ask me. Because I haven't tried to process it with my mind. I've let my spirit take it. There might be a pause. I'll let Jesus help me. The wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. And God's word has got so much to say about wisdom. I'm not going to get through this, but we'll try our best. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let the word speak for itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I can't explain it, but I know it's real. I can't explain how a combustion engine works, but I know it's real. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate. I can't wait for that day. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Why are we worried? Why are we worried? The smartest person in the world could be up against you, and he doesn't even hold a candle to our God. His strength doesn't even come near it. Gina Reinhart might be the richest woman in Australia, but she don't hold a candle to God, James. He owns more than the cattle on a thousand hills, I'm telling you. And you might think to yourself, that's not me, I'm just not smart enough for that. You know what? That's actually the best place to start. That's not me, I can't do that. Because when we realize our own shortcomings, that's where God can come in and say, I'll take over. It's when we think we can do it, when we think we can evangelize, when we think we can argue with people about the truth in love. With the word argue, we just got to be careful with that. When we think we can, that's when we fail. But when we go in with fear and trepidation saying, Holy Spirit, I need you right now, guess what? He's there. Because if you go in not needing him, that's when you're going to fall over and make huge mistakes. This is when God comes to the fore. This is where true wisdom kicks in, when you step back and let God. The least person, least educated person in this room and the most educated person in this room has access to the same wisdom. I don't care whether you failed high school. I don't care whether you've never studied. In fact, I don't care how many letters you've got after your name. Good on you for doing that. And good on you for pursuing your career. But you know what? It means nothing in the eyes of God. Because he's the one that gives wisdom. You can acquire knowledge, but he will give you wisdom. And I tell you what, wisdom beats knowledge hands down. I was going to say trumps down again. Hands down any time. What is it with that man? He's in everybody's heads. I don't get it. And 1 Corinthians goes on in verse 26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. What were you when you were called? Some of you were young, a little bit silly. Some of you were so into the world that you didn't realize how far away you were from God. Think about it. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were, it's not saying none of you were, it says not many. Not many were influential, not many were of noble birth. Any princesses in the house? Yes, I'm a princess. Go on. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So no one may boast before him. It's because of him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God. That is our righteousness, holiness and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And in chapter 2, Paul then himself says this about his own wisdom. He says, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We're listening to too many preachers, to their words and not their heart. Paul goes on, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. That's good to know, isn't it? Spirit's in there seeking the deepest things of God for you and for me. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. And then he goes on and he says, we have the mind of Christ. What better mind could you have? You might have been born with a mind that wasn't real quick. You might have been born with a mind that doesn't retain information well like mine. Goes in and it goes out. But we have the mind of Christ. And I know that all those things I've learned and all the things the Holy Spirit has shown me, I may not remember them right now, but when they're needed, they're just going to go pop, because they're there. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God and gives them to us. And he writes in his second letter to them about relying not on worldly wisdom but on God's grace. And he tells the Ephesians, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Why do we need wisdom and revelation? So we know God better. So we can speak about him better. So that we can represent him better. We can know his word better. We can do what it says better. See, when people come to see me for help, when I see people struggling with some area of their life, it could be their finances, their relationships, could be work, could be trials they're going through, it could be stresses, could be fear, could be whatever. When I see people doing that and I see them and they come to me, I ask them, what does the word say? Point them to scripture. What does the word say about your situation? And often they don't want that. They either want something more complicated because their problem is so deep, beyond the reach of God. It's just, this is too complicated for God. They don't say that, but you know it's going through their heads. Or they want an easy fix. I don't have a Harry Potter magic wand. Fixed. That's Tinkerbell's I used then. That's right. They want an easy fix. Isn't there an easier way, Mike? The thing is, God's way is simple, but it's never easy. Applying wisdom takes effort. Reading his word, working out what he says about a situation, takes time. Walking by faith means there's going to be struggle. You don't need to walk by faith if everything's okay. Transformation is something we have to work on. Don't just think God's going to go zap and give you wisdom if you're not full of his spirit and you don't have his word in your heart. Because he's going, I've done my bit, where's yours? Where's your bit? I've given you wisdom and you're not even using it. You're not even talking to anyone about me. I observed James Smith on the Gold Coast for 4 days. I always had to listen to him as well, but I observed him. I have to admit, I suddenly started doing dad jokes and I didn't know where it came from. But he is the most gifted evangelist I've seen in many years. He will find a point of contact and he'll start talking with random people. Now, I'm not saying that he's wise. True, Pauline? No. But for some reason, this man, you act like a clown. In fact, somebody said that they thought you were a comedian. You like that. But he there's a depth to him that some of you might not have even touched and processed yet. Because when he speaks to someone, just naturally they will, like when I speak to somebody, they go, what does he want? But for some reason they warm to him, full of the spirit and wisdom. He's full of the spirit and wisdom. That shell you see, that outside James you see, isn't the deep James that God has created. He's deeper than you realize. He's full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. If you're not doing something about renewing your mind, nothing is going to change. Obedience to the word of God isn't about how it feels, it's about what has to be done. I don't like some of the things God wants me to do. It's not how it feels, it's what has to be done. And sadly, some do not apply it, or they continue to struggle or try some other way. Let me tell you something, it's only God's way that works. And often we're going to try everything else first. When we've tried everything else, it's, oh, okay, God, I've got nothing left now, I have to go to you. Really? Is that how we're supposed to live our lives? The thing about the wisdom of God is it's like his character and his nature. It's unchanging. He says that his character and nature doesn't change, neither does his wisdom. You know, God's not got dementia now because he's been around for a long time. His smarts have not faded in any way, shape, or form. The same wisdom, the same power that he gave to Stephen and to Paul and to Jesus is as strong today as it was then. It's as accessible today as it was then. It's as powerful as it was then as is now. Whatever I said. Just edit that for me, Matty. I'm obviously not using eloquence or words this morning of wisdom. But do you hear what I'm saying? God's not waned. Maybe the church has. God's not powerless. Maybe I'm powerless. 1 Samuel 15:29 says, he who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he's not a man that he should change his mind. How unlike the wisdom of the world is the wisdom of our God. You notice how human wisdom varies from year to year, from generation to generation. Let me give you an example. In the early 1900s, there was a book by a Dr. John Watson, interestingly, his name was. I don't know if he was named after one of my favorite authors' books. And he wrote this book called Psychological Care of Infant and Child. Dr. Watson suggested that parents should never hug their children or kiss their children and never allow them to sit on their lap. Watson's thinking was that if parents showed too much affection to their children, the children would drown in what he called mother love. Then you go, what? He wrote, "If you must, kiss them once on the forehead when they say goodnight, but shake their hand in the morning." And Dr. Watson's reasoning was that children needed to be taught that the world is cruel and harsh, and this kind of nurture would prepare them for it. Now do you understand why some of the people of that era were cold emotionally? They were subjugated to that. And he wrote this book, and it sold. People bought it, and people implemented it. You know, you remember the strict grandfathers and the strict fathers? Don't show any emotion. A few people nodding. Now let's jump forward to 1946. We're talking 40 years later. This book was written. It's called Common Sense Book of Baby and Childcare. A young doctor who was practicing pediatrics wrote this book when he came out of university. And it was a 180-degree different approach to that of Dr. Watson. And some of you here may have been raised by parents who read the book by Dr. Benjamin Spock. Not Mr. Spock, Dr. Spock. I can't do that. Hurts. And Dr. Spock's philosophy was, trust yourself. You've got it within you to know what to do. Just trust yourself. And the critics of Dr. Spock said that he was encouraging parents to raise permissive kids. But this book was translated into 39 languages and sold over 50 million copies. I reckon there'd be second-hand bookshops everywhere and op shops with copies of that. Have we got one, Maddie? Good, throw it away anyway. What's interesting is that Dr. Spock, though he was touted as the expert of his age, the authority on parenting, later changed his mind about what he wrote. While he was at uni, he'd been steeped in the teachings of Freud and Jung and Charles Darwin. These are the fathers of psychology and of evolution. But as he grew older, he saw that their teachings, the very teachings that he had used and based his book on, had contributed to the problem of moral failure in society. Dr. Spock was not a Christian. In fact, he did not adhere to or follow any religion at all. But in an article about him written, The Baby Doctor, Benjamin Spock on Darwin and Morality, it says this. Dr. Spock concluded that the moral blindness that produced many of our modern social problems was the direct result of modern secular teachings and psychology resulting from Darwinism, Freudianism, and other humanistic philosophies. In Spock's own words, the major reason for our most serious social problems was the weakening of the influence of religion that resulted especially from the influence of Darwinism and our increasingly secular society. A non-believer. Dr. Spock realized that many of the movements with which he had once agreed had caused an enormous amount of harm in society. And as a result of his insight, he admitted that he had come full circle in the end to a feeling that it is crucial in all issues to consider the moral dimension when trying to solve social and societal problems. The major source of morality in the West, he realized, was the Judeo-Christian heritage, which has been seriously undermined by Darwinism, Freudianism, and the secular humanistic psychology and philosophies taught in our schools and by society as a whole. Non-believer. He recanted his view of encouraging parents to look within. And you and I both know where that leads when we look within. Because we think we have the answers. Human wisdom changes. Opinions change. Scientific discoveries are replaced by new ideas. So many self-help books. Drives me batty. So many self-help books. This is the best self-help book you'll ever find. Worldly wisdom shifts like sand on the seashore, but true wisdom transcends the ages and goes beyond our culture. So where can we go to find wisdom? We go to God's Word. In fact, there's a whole book dedicated to the subject. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. So it's saying, even if you've learned, add to your learning. It's saying, even if you're discerning, get some guidance. See, when we involve God, we learn that He alone gives and shows true wisdom. And if there's any wisdom in the world, it's because He created it. The smartest doctor, the smartest lawyer, the smartest inventor, the best preaching pastor only gets what he gets because God gave it to him. He's the source of all wisdom. He's the source of all intelligence. The word wisdom in Proverbs 1 is the Hebrew word chokmah. It can be used to describe skill in battle or in technical work. It's also used to describe wisdom in administration and in ethical matters. And this word is used 149 times in the Old Testament alone. Chokmah, wisdom. And the first place it appears is in Exodus, believe it or not. Let me read to you the first reference to wisdom, chokmah. In Exodus 28, verse 1, "Have Aaron your brother brought to you from among the Israelites along with his sons, so they may serve me as priests. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. Tell all the skilled men to whom I've given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, so he may serve me as priest." God wanted men of wisdom to make clothes. Wow. Do you now understand that God wants wisdom at every level? Whatever you do, whether you serve on tables, whether you make clothes, whether you preach, don't rely on your own abilities. You need the wisdom of God. Well, I don't need wisdom to hand out communion. Well, why not? Who knows what's going to happen while you're giving it out? Have you thought about that? God starts to fill this place with people. Who knows what's going to happen in the midst of our meetings? Who knows where God's going to take it? And you know what? I don't think He's going to do that till we're ready for that. God wants us to have wisdom at every level. Simple decisions, big decisions. Our problem is we only involve Him in the big decisions. Oh God, what sort of car shall I drive? If you think that's a big decision, you're an idiot. We do. We want God in our big decisions, and that's right, and that's good, and that's fine, but you need Him in your small decisions. God didn't want just any clothes. He wanted people with wisdom to make them the way that He wanted them made. He had something specific in mind, and God always has a reason, even if we don't understand it. Always. He always has a reason, even if we don't understand it or don't see it. And it's the same with life. How we relate to one another, how we conduct our daily affairs, must be in accordance with the plan and purpose of God for your life, for the lives of those you touch, for the church, for whatever you do. Musicians, you can come. I'm going to finish. I'm going to have to finish this again in a couple of weeks. It's too much. That's a good thing. Got half a message done. To be considered wise is more than being smart, more than being educated, more than being experienced. Be considered wise is to seek God at every turn. Oh, I don't want to bother God with this. Yes, you do. You're not bothering God. I know Maddie feels like he's bothering God sometimes, don't you? But you're not. You're using wisdom. God, I don't know about this. But I know it's not important to you. Yes, it is. Because you know what? When you start asking Him about the small things, your faith grows. He begins to answer you. He begins to give you the words to say. He lets you know what it is that He's doing. And then those who are trusted with little will be trusted with much. Let me encourage you. I'm going to share a bit more at some stage about how we get wisdom, what you can put in place to do that. But why don't you ask God for wisdom? Word of God says if we ask Him, He freely gives it. Our problem is we're not asking. Lord, this morning in this room, whatever level we're at, whatever experience we have, whatever knowledge we have, even whatever level of the spirit we have and the level of wisdom that we exercise, there's more. There's always more because we don't know everything and we don't know how everything works. So Lord, we call upon You today to fill us with Your wisdom. Let Your spirit fall afresh on us and anoint us, Lord God, in this moment so that we're not just going to leave with the words ringing in our ears, but with the voice of the Spirit in our hearts, saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is what I want You to do. I'm here to answer your questions. I'm here to give you the words to say when you need them. So why don't you take a risk this week? Just take a risk and allow the Holy Spirit to not only go before you and be behind you, but be with you as you share what it is that God wants you to share. You don't have to know what it is that you're going to share. Somebody's going to ask you a question. Somebody's going to say something, and you're going to go, here it is. And you won't have to think. You'll just open your mouth and let the Holy Spirit give what He wants to give. Amen.